Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
It's our second straight interview here with somebody we had on the podcast a lot, but couldn't have him on last year because Mississippi State and LSU didn't hook up like we have in years past. Wilson Alexander from The Advocate down there in Baton Rouge back on with us to talk about the Tigers in the spring. I'll just get right to it. You know, year four of Brian Kelly, is this a make or break year for him?
In a lot of ways, it really is. You know, sometimes when you say make or break, I feel like that means, like, is he going to get fired at the end of the year? We're too far off to know, like, if that would happen. The buyout would be still $50 million at the end of next season. That's a lot of money that we're talking about there. But this is a lot of pressure building up around Brian Kelly. LSU has invested in this roster more than it has previously in the NIL era. Certainly, I think we're talking about more like tripling what it has spent on the roster between NIL money and revenue sharing coming. There, you've got a lot more funds available. And so when you have an investment, you want that investment to pay off, right? And so this is a big year for Brian Kelly to, at the very least, make the college football playoff, just be show that you're taking steps forward toward championship contention. Even if LSU does not win a title this year, he needs to show that he's moving this program in the right direction.
This is a really experienced roster when you look at it, especially in terms of what you expect from the starters. A lot of skill position guys back defensively. They bring back some big pieces. But it kind of starts with Garrett Nussmeier, who I thought last year showed you some flashes where he could have maybe been the best quarterback in the country. And then there were some games where you're like, what is that guy doing? And I guess that's, you know, first-time starter. What would you expect? Year two as a starter now, should we expect him to take a more consistent jump forward?
We absolutely should. I mean, he, like you said, he threw for 4,000 yards last year. Like, he threw 29 touchdowns. He did some really good things. He made some throws, like the one to beat Ole Miss at the end, or to tie Ole Miss, really, at the end of the fourth quarter, where you're like, wow, that's abnormal. Not a lot of people can do that. But then there was, during LSU's losing streak last year, just bad decision-making. Too many interceptions and turnovers, had some fumbles in there too. That sort of contributed to LSU's spiral, really, in October and in November. And some of that you expect from a first-time starter. I don't think that it was completely abnormal, especially because of Garrett's play style, that would happen in his first year in this league starting at times. But now he does need to take that step forward. You know, he needs to cut those interceptions. It's probably at least in half for LSU to be able to win the games that it needs to this year to make the playoff, like we're talking about. And the other thing with it, though, with Garrett, is that as a deep ball passer, I mean, LSU's main deep threat last year was going to be Chris Hilton. He got hurt. Hilton's back, and LSU's add a lot of speed, and that might help Garrett and the rest of this offense in the vertical passing game, which could really continue to open things up for him, because we saw kind of toward the end of the year that he really seemed to maybe turn a corner. It's hard to tell if you do that against what was a meh Oklahoma team and against Baylor, neither of which were like very good, not like great defensively, but still, it seemed like he maybe took a step forward once Chris Hilton came back. And if they're able to continue to improve that part of the offense, then Garrett really could take a step forward as a quarterback.
You kind of hit on it there with these new receivers. Nick Anderson and Berrien Brown, these are two SEC-proven wide receivers. These guys have done it in this conference before. They should be able to do it at LSU. These guys should be big weapons for him this year, right?
Yes, they should be. You know, at this point in the spring, it's still kind of like LSU's established players are the ones getting a lot of the first-team work, like Chris Hilton, Aaron Anderson, Xavion Thomas, former Mississippi State player as well. But Berrien Brown is in that mix. Nick Anderson, we haven't seen a lot of this spring. Not really totally sure why. I mean, he's been out there. He's been getting some work in with, like, second-team offense and such. But he seems maybe almost a little bit limited in some way. And yet, that doesn't really – you know, it's spring ball. So it's like, by the preseason, yes, he is expected to be a huge piece of this offense. And I think, really, that's your top five when you're talking about LSU at receiver. And it shows that they've got some depth. They're going to be able to rotate guys in and out and try to be able to find their best matchups, because they've got, I think, five for sure. And we'll see if anybody of their young players like can kind of come on and add to that, that should be able to form a rotation in the SEC.
All right, man. I know LSU fans have got to be tired of waiting, because I am. Is this the year with Harold Perkins where he just becomes that dominant defensive player in this country? Because I know the talent is there, man, but gosh, injuries and everything else have kept this from happening.
Yeah, and a lot of it was kept it from happening too, right? Is LSU's inability to maybe put him in the right spot?
Yeah.
Is that going to be this year? Because now LSU is playing him at the star position. That's the plan. Obviously, Harold is still coming off that ACL, so we haven't seen him practice at all this spring, but he's expected to be cleared before their summer workouts, give him about 2 months to ramp up into the going into the season. that star position is kind of similar to what he was doing in 2023 as a strong side linebacker. But you know, how else are you going to match use that in Blake Baker's defense, right? With this kind of talent, somebody who you think theoretically should be able to blitz off the edge more often than LSU did last year with its star, who was Major Burns. So safety, that's a safety playing star. Now you've got a linebacker playing star.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Is this the year? I mean, everybody hopes so around here that it'll finally kind of all come together. This talent that Harold has and this scheme and the defense and Blake's aggressive, play calling there. Can that all finally come together? I mean, it's going to be huge for this team, and we'll see if it does, but it's going to be at that star position, which is a little bit different than what he's done in the past.
We've talked about some of the transfers. I want to ask you about a true freshman, DJ Pickett, at the cornerback position. Five-star kid. I mean, this is LSU, right? DBU. We talk about them all the time with these elite defensive backs. Is he the next guy in that lineage?
He looks like it. I mean, gosh, he looks the part. He's 6'4". He's put on a little bit of – he came in really, really skinny when we first saw him in bowl prep. He's bulked up a little bit during their offseason training program. And gosh, the physical tools are enticing because, like, there was a play in one-on-ones a couple of days ago here where he got beat by Berrian Brown, who's really fast. The ball was underthrown just a little bit, but, you know, that's going to happen from time to time. But what DJ Pickett did was he closed on the play, made up for the lost ground early on in the route, and then batted the ball away because he's got such long arms. And that's just – he's just got some tools that you don't see everywhere. We'll see kind of over the course of the offseason if he's able to be a day one starter. There's some competition there at cornerback with Mansour Delane, Jakeem Jackson, Ashton Stamps. But DJ Pickett is certainly in that mix here as an early enrollee.
So it's become like this, almost like a meme with LSU in week one, right? With Brian Kelly. They can't get over the hump. And this year they got to travel to Clemson in week one. That's going to be the preseason ACC favorite. They bring back a ton. It looks like Dabo Swinney's finally making a move into modern day college football in the transfer portal. Well, what is going to be what's week two going to be like at LSU if they're 0-1 again?
You know, I was talking with some other reporters this morning actually about that exact topic, and it would be miserable in Baton Rouge if they are 0-1. And the thing about it is, like, I, at least from my point of view, I would be totally, I think it's understandable if they're 0-1 going to Clemson, with the team that Clemson is bringing back, the experience that they're bringing back. It's not a game that I think they're going to be favored to win. And yet, even if they were to lose this game, it's going to be miserable around here. I think the only way it would be not completely dreadful is if it's like a close game, a battle deep into the fourth quarter, and they just, you know, Clemson makes a play at the end type thing. But the problem is that LSU has really just not looked good in its openers under Kelly at all. And they continue to just look bad coming out of the gate, and particularly in a loss, like it's not going to be fun around Baton Rouge.
What's the biggest question LSU needs to get answered this spring?
Who is going to start on the offensive line? You could also make an argument for safety, but it's offensive line for sure. I mean, they're replacing four starters. DJ Chester, who is their center and that fifth starter, he might not even be the center next year. He might slide over to guard. And so it's all about the offensive line. You know, they've got these weapons. They've got Garrett Nussmeier back, but it doesn't do any good if you can't protect. And if you can't move people off the ball in the run game, which is something else you need to do a lot better. So they're a long ways off from, I think, figuring out exactly who's going to be those starters against Clemson. They've got a lot of options. They've got some transfers who've come in. They've got some young players who were highly rated recruits. Now they've all got to come together to be able to rebuild that offensive line.
All right, we're asking everybody the same question for the last question of the interview. It's March 25th as we're sitting here. LSU-Oklahoma is the final game of the regular season. If I talk to you the day after that game, what are we saying about this LSU team?
I think we're saying that they're a team that's in the playoff conversation. I don't know that they will, you know, I'm just not, I don't want to come out on a limb and say like, oh yeah, they're going to be in the playoff. But I think that this team is going to be better than they were last year. And I think that they are going to be firmly in the mix for one of those at-large spots going into, coming out of the regular season. And is that 9-3? Is that 10-2? We'll see. But I think that that's kind of where this team is. And, you know, I have a hard time seeing them be right from where we are right today, you know, winning a national championship. But I think that they are going to be somebody who is potentially playing playoff games here in December.
It's so fascinating when you think about 10-2, okay. But if they start 0-1, that means they can't lose again, but one more time. And so that's the difficulty of playing those kind of games. But it makes it fun. It's a great week one matchup for the Tigers. Are they going to do a Death Valley versus Death Valley thing? Surely they are.
Right? Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I mean, the fans will for months on end, I'm sure.
It's got to be if whoever loses can't say it, can't have it marketed for a year or something, right? It's got
to
be.
Yeah, probably. Because, I mean, Clemson then comes to Baton Rouge a year later.
Right, and get it back.
And so it's like you can like you said, like it can be like a year of ownership.
There you go. We'll see what happens.
Play for it again.
Wilson, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. I guess I'll talk to you again in 2026 between now and then. So have a good one, man. Wilson Alexander from The Advocate. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.